I was thinking earlier this week about how to end the service tonight. I learned a long time ago never to try to compete with children because they always win. but I was thinking about the question about who is Christmas for, and I think we have a good illustration right up here. First of all, Christmas is for the little ones. You might have wondered what these guys were pointing up there for, and laughing. You know, see? No, up here. See up there? Who's that up there? Sometimes the choir does the same thing when they look up at our sound guys. Yeah, it's funny. But Christmas is for the little ones. They don't understand it yet, but when you go back to Luke chapter 2 and read like these guys did tonight, and you read about the little baby, Jesus, that was born, it reminds us that Christmas is for little... Oh, we're losing a sheep. But Christmas is for little ones. Now, they don't understand what it's all about yet. I mean, they see things like the baby Jesus laying in a manger, and they hear sing Christmas carols, and they can tell that Christmas time is different than any other time of the year. I mean, you put a Christmas tree up, and you hang decorations, and all the presents that are under the tree, and they haven't come to the understanding yet that this time of year represents the time that God gave us the very best gift that anybody could give when He gave us His Son. But who's Christmas for? It's for little ones like this, who don't quite understand it yet, but one day, hopefully, we'll grow up and understand what Christmas is all about. Who's Christmas for? It's for children, like this. A little bit older, but still young in life, that are still beginning to understand what Christmas is all about. Some of them have already made a decision to receive Jesus as their Savior. In fact, Matthew this morning talked to me, got Amy's permission to get baptized in February because he explained to Mom enough that he understands what he's doing. But that's what Christmas is about. It's children coming to know, as they get a little bit older, Jesus as their Savior, understanding that they're a sinner, understanding that somebody needed to die for them to make them right with God. Who's Christmas for? Christmas is for teenagers. As we studied a few weeks ago, I think Mary, the mother of Christ, was a teenager. Somebody that was willing to... we're losing all our sheep. Boy, you guys aren't doing a very good job. You're letting all the sheep get away. That's all right. I'm just teasing you. But Christmas is for teenagers. Those that are willing to let God direct their life, willing to let God tell them what He wants them to do, willing to just trust God as Mary did as she bore the Christ child. So Christmas is for teenagers. Who's Christmas for? Christmas is for young adults. We studied Joseph, I think, the week before last. Not a teenager, I don't think, as Mary was, but a young adult that was willing, again, to listen to God and do what God told him to do about taking Mary as his wife. Listen to God as God told him where to go and when to go. When to come back home. For young adults that listen to the Holy Spirit and do what they say. Who's Christmas for? Christmas is for not young adults and not old adults, but those of us that are in the middle. Those like, I think, the wise men were, who studied and were wise, who watched the heavens, who saw the sign from God in the form of a star, and who are willing to follow that star and worship the Christ child. Who's Christmas for? Christmas is for senior adults. We read the story in the last part of Luke, not as familiar as the first part of the Christmas story, about Simon and Anna, who were at the temple in Jerusalem when Mary and Joseph brought the little Christ child in to name him, as they did on the eighth day of life back in that time. God had promised these two senior adults, as they waited there in the temple, that they weren't going to die until they saw the Redeemer, until they saw the promised one from God. And so when Mary and Joseph brought the little baby Jesus in, both of them came and professed him as the promised child. Who's Christmas for? Christmas is for every single person, from the very youngest to the very oldest. Christmas is for every single one that God created. Christmas is for every single one as we realize that we need a relationship with God. And as the young people tonight read for us and sing for us, the reason that Jesus came into the world was for us. We're all sinners. Because of that sin, we all deserve the penalty of death that's described in the Bible. The wages of sin is death, and not just physical death as we understand it, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And Jesus, when he came to earth, he came born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, and died for our sin. So that if we accept him, we can have our relationship with God restored. If we believe in him, we can have that father-son relationship that God wants to have, or father-child relationship that God wants to have with every single person. You see, God wants us all in his family. Doesn't want anybody outside of the family of God. That's why he puts promises in the Bible like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's why he puts promises in the Bible like John 1:12, "But as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." I wonder how many tonight, how many young children like these are involved in Christmas programs where they're presenting the fact that God did send his son into the world to remind us that we all needed him to come. To remind us that he came not to be a little baby in a manger, not to be that 12-year-old boy that went to the temple and sort of got lost from mom and dad for a couple days, not even to be the preacher and teacher he was as he got older, but the reason he came into the world was to be our sacrifice, to be our Savior. That's the reason he came. It started at Christmas. It ended at Easter as we celebrate it. But what a wonderful time of year if you've never received the gift that God gave to us in the form of his Son. What a wonderful time of year Christmas is to receive that gift. And so I'm going to ask each one of you to bow your heads if you would. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then I'm just going to ask you to just keep your heads bowed. I want to ask you one question. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these young people, for all the practice they did, for what they presented to us in the last few moments about how it was a miraculous thing that Jesus came and was born. And I pray, Father, as we've watched it, we not only enjoyed seeing these little ones that we love read the Bible and sing, but I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've spoken to each one of us and you've reminded us of the truth that Jesus was your Son, that he left heaven, came as a little baby, lived, and then went to the cross and died for each one of us. And so I pray tonight, Father, in the next few moments, if there's a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma or an aunt or an uncle or just a friend that's here that's never received Christ, that's never really understood deep down what Christmas was all about, that right now, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to them. You'd help them see that they're a sinner. The price of that sin is death. But that when Christ went to the cross, he paid that price for each one of us. And if they'd simply receive that gift tonight, they could be one of your children. They could be part of your family. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. And again, I'm not going to embarrass anybody tonight, but I would like to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. Let me ask you first of all this. If you're here tonight and could testify with an uplifted hand that you do know Jesus, because there was a time in your life where you asked him to be your Savior, could you just testify that? Head bowed, eye closed, but could you just testify to that fact by raising your hand? Just hold it up for a second, would you, so I can see it? Just hold it up. Okay, thank you. Now, there were many that didn't raise your hand, and again, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I would make an appeal to you on the behalf of my Savior. He did go to the cross, and he did die for you. This may be the first time you've ever heard it put like this, but he died for you, took all your sins upon himself on Calvary, and paid the price. And I'm wondering tonight if there'd be just one out of the many that didn't raise their hands that you would say with an uplifted hand, "Preacher, I don't quite understand it all, but I know that I don't deserve God's love. And tonight, I'd just like to simply, like in childlike faith, like the Bible tells us to do, I'd just like to simply ask Christ to be my Savior." And again, I won't come back to anybody. I won't embarrass you in any way. But if you're like that here tonight and the Holy Spirit's spoken to you, told you there's something missing in your life, what's missing is that relationship with God. And the only way you get it is to come through the Savior, through Jesus. And again, I won't call you out, won't make any spectacle of you at all. I promise that. But I would like to pray for you. And so if you're here tonight and would like to ask Jesus to be your Savior, would you just slip your hand up and hold it for a second? Is there anybody? Just slip your hand up and hold it for a second. Let me see it. And I'll pray. And so, Father, tonight you continue to speak to us. I pray you make the truth known to those that need to know Jesus as their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Help us to honor you as we do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.